Hey, and this is Russ, and we're ready for session number 10, how to use your spiritual gifts. Listen, hey, if you got spiritual gifts, the big issue is using them. So listen, as you find them and discover them, and as God the Holy Spirit confirms them, and others confirm them, and your use of them begin to be, well, a confirmation of the blessing and the fruit. Listen, this is an exciting thing to know that, you know, we're saved. Christ lives in us, and we have the Spirit of God dwelling in and upon us. You know, to be clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit and to be a witness for Jesus, to be a part of the front line of what God is doing, what God is, his heart, his mission, reach the world for Christ. Giftings then can be used in the body of Christ. Now, they can be used evangelistically, and that's important. But in the midst of using your gifts, don't forget the Great Commission. It's like, don't forget to go to church. Don't forget to pray. Don't forget to walk with God. Don't forget to grow in the Word of God. So when it comes to spiritual gifts, don't become, well, as some have, they've gotten kind of spiritual gifts tunnel vision. And I've heard individuals say to me over the years, well, this is my spiritual gift. This is all I do. I have the gift of service, and I'm an usher, and I help serve communion, and this is what I do in the body of Christ. And it's as if they have no other abilities. Don't sell yourself short. And don't sell short the calling of God in clothing us and being a witness. Don't forget, evangelism is a part of every believer's, you know, life and what every believer should be involved with. Spiritual gifts is part also then of our walk with God in the midst of the church, all of which, well, brings blessing, brings the work of the Spirit, and demonstrates the grace of God again and again and again. So this is the exciting thing. So let's take a look at session 10, how to use your spiritual gifts. I want to mention also, take a few moments going through the course. Every so often, take a look at the shatterthedarkness.net site, and we have new courses and materials. And if you're one of the original individuals that have joined to take all courses, it's clear that we've been slow in getting out the courses because we've added more than twice the number of training sessions. But we've also, along the way now, are adding more courses. So if you are one that began in the beginning, the good news is that probably all the courses have almost twice as many MP3 sessions and so forth. And that there are new courses coming out that you'll also receive that were not mentioned in the beginning. You'll also see there's a series. There's a series on the Antichrist, the series on Holy Spirit discernment, the series on dark rituals, dark powers. There's a number of series that were going to be courses. They're really like the courses, but we felt led to offer them automatically free to everybody. And eventually, these courses will just be all given out free. That's the way we're praying for the doors to open. So I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad that you are a part, and I'm glad that you're interested in what God, well, is interested in about you. God's not going to give you a gift and not also lead you to use it well. So I want us to go over 5 points, actually 6, and then a couple of key issues. One is we are meant to use and use well God, these God-given abilities. Two, we must begin if we will ever become fruitful and effective. 3, you can watch and learn from others who have the same spiritual gifts. 4, use your gifts at the appropriate time as the Holy Spirit leads. 5, offer yourself to the Lord Jesus and ask leadership or sign up. And then 6, join a ministry that needs your service and your gifting. Now, I've got some key points at the end also, but let's take a step by step through these 6 points, and may the Spirit of God guide us. May the Lord Jesus grant us more wisdom. And I believe this is true out of Colossians chapter 3, where we're told to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly as we teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. We read about wisdom given by God in the book of James. We look at the difference between earthly wisdom and the wisdom that comes down from God. And that's how we can use your gifts with Spirit-given, God-given wisdom. Take a look at that in the book of James, and maybe even ask in your pursuit of gifts and use of gifts you use in wisdom. Now, I want to say that 1 Corinthians 14 talks about eagerly desiring the gifts. Well, that's a great thing. And I believe that those who eagerly desire and go after the Lord and open their lives wide, Psalm 81:10 says, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. And I think that as you read Psalm 81 and you look at verse 10, it's very clear. Open wide your life. Open up the totality of your life and God will fill. Fill with His presence, fill with His Spirit, fill with giftings and workings and guidance and that living presence of Christ. That's what it's all about. It really is in walking with Jesus and serving. So let's begin with looking at point number one. We are meant to use and use well these God-given abilities. Under A, spiritual gifts are given for us to use. Now we make a lot out of 1 Peter 4:10. Each one of us, well, we have these gifts, but we are to use them. Listen, the same Holy Spirit who gives the gifts is the one who brings that sense of, well, use this gift. He enables, he gives a supernatural ability. And it is the presence of the Holy Spirit that then requires us faithful use of those gifts. I think there's a great and a tremendously great verse in 1 Corinthians. It's in the beginning of chapter 4. And I'll come to that in just a minute. But as you think in terms of the gifts you've received, again, as I mentioned in the earlier session, when you use your gifts, that kind of brings not only a confirmation, but it brings a sense of, growing in it and developing in it. And the only way you can really begin to be effective and begin to release the grace and bring common good, you got to start. And so use them and use them well is the issue. If you know them and you've got confirmation, well, then the same Spirit of God who gives and confirms and manifests and motivates is the same Spirit of God who will lead you and open doors and guide you on how to begin and use and so forth. So again, may the Holy Spirit just be all over you in leading you in this way, that you do it well, that your experience is good. And let me say something now that's not in the notes. Even if you kind of flub up a little bit, even if you kind of mess up a little bit here or there, you start to do something and it doesn't, you know, do good. Or if you got the gift of teaching and the first time you teach, it wasn't that good. Listen, again, look for the wisdom of God. Get sharper at this and keep doing it. And that's a vital issue. I want to mention 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Here's what it says. So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ, as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now here's the key, verse 2. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Think about that. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust, and I believe that includes any and all giftings, they must prove faithful. So again, I'm going to tell you something. Faithfulness in the use of gifts, whatever the obstacles, faithfulness is the success. It won't be success if we never seek or find gifts, because it's the will of God that we do. It's not going to be success if we find the gifts, find they're confirmed, be excited about them, but never use them, or quit using them, or use them in a bad way. If believers are fleshly and backslidden, we'll deal with that as we come up here. But we want to use them. As point one says, we are meant. I mean, God, we read Romans 8 about we are more than conquerors. If God be for us, who can be against us? So God's for you. God wants you to bear the fruit there. God wills for you. God means for you to do well, to glorify Him and to give goodness of His grace to the body and even lost people. So please understand, God backs your use of gifts. He wills it, backs it. There's pleasure in it. God loves it. and wants you to find that faithful success and effectiveness. Well, point one, again, 1 Peter 4:10. And let me just mention 1 Corinthians 4:2. Maybe memorize 1 Corinthians 4:2. Under B, spiritual gifts will grow in strength and effectiveness. Now, that's going to be seen throughout the book of Acts. As a matter of fact, you will look in and do a deep study of Acts chapter 9, and you'll see Paul, as he's saved, filled with the Spirit, and begins. Now, his gifting is going to be apostleship that involves a high order of evangelism. And he begins right away. He starts doing it. And I'll tell you in point two what occurs. But if you will use your gift again and again and again and again, you will become effective. You will see how well it can really be done. Point number two. We must begin if we will ever become fruitful and effective. It's got to, you know, listen, point under A. The first steps can be shaky. But you got to start. The first time you ever teach, or the first time you begin to lead, maybe there's some people that think you're young and don't, you know, you're not going to lead very well. Maybe there's some that don't accept your leadership. Maybe there's some in your classroom and you're teaching and they're not, you know, they're acting up. Maybe there's, maybe it seems to them boring at first. But I'm telling you, because it's the Spirit of God, it's the fire of God that unleashes supernatural gifting that is chocked full of the grace and mercy and power and ability of God. So as you use more and more and more and more, I cannot see but that gifts used well to their fullest extent would be just simply powerful, strong, effective. So your first steps can be shaky, whatever it is. Maybe you have a prophetic gifting and you start to speak your first word in a small group. And I'll mention that many times, like the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy and the word of knowledge, many times those kind of giftings is really good to begin to use in a growing, maturing small group. And you'll have to learn how in the body, like a larger church service, how your church and your leadership functions in making sure those gifts are used and used well, making sure that fleshly uses are not going to be permitted, and making sure that they would come against any counterfeit satanic uses. That's three things that needs to be done as the body gathers on a Sunday morning or in a larger group. I was pastoring a very, very large church years ago, and if someone was to stand up, like when we had worship time and prayer and all of a sudden we're just there before the Lord, and someone was to stand where they're at, begin to speak out a word of prophecy or a word of knowledge, or if they were led by the Spirit to speak in languages where an interpreter, the problem there would have been barely anybody would have heard. The sanctuary was massive with thousands and thousands of seats. And so we would teach, if people feel led, and I saw this in a large church down in Columbus, if people are led to speak with the speaking gifts, they can come forward during those times. And even at the invitation time, they had it open to where they can come forward. And one of the other pastors or elders were there, and they would walk over to them, and they would be given the mic. And could do it that way so that everybody could hear. Remember, again, 1 Corinthians 14, it's all about the common good and the blessing and that everybody be edified. So even if your first steps are shaky, keep going and keep growing, and you will demonstrate in the Spirit of God. That's what it's meant. That's what He is meant to do, to sharpen, and that's the whole work. It's like being saved. When you first step, your first steps as a self, you know, being saved, you're a baby Christian, and you're growing. The first time you learn the Bible, you're learning bits and pieces. The first time you begin to pray. And then the more you do it all, the more you become just naturally supernatural and effective and very experienced, very able. And as Paul talks about, very competent, that you're competent to do it, that you're very able. And there's a confidence that grows, a sweet boldness of the Holy Spirit that grows. And oh, we'll see that even again in the book of Acts. Well, listen, the first steps can be glorious too. I mean, the first time you, you know, maybe speak out a word. Maybe it really affects somebody well. Maybe you're in a situation where you've been invited to be in a counseling session and God gives you a word of knowledge and you look at the person leading and acknowledge that you have a word to give and you give it and it becomes powerful. So don't think the first step has to be weak or of no effect the very first time. The very first time someone is called to be, you know, to preach, to speak, can be very powerful. But just realize that that we grow and we become sharper in it. Under C.2 is the first steps leads to the next step. And that's the important thing. If you start, don't ever stop. I would say that's true about your worship with the Lord, your gathering the body of Christ, your study of the Word of God. Being a witness, when you surrender and yield to the Great Commission, clothe the Spirit of God, make yourself, I mean, for life, you're a soul winner. For life, you're a prayer warrior. For life, you're a worshiper of Jesus. For life, you show love of Christ. For life, you bear the fruit of the Spirit. For life, you use your gifts. So you're a lifer when it comes to this. And in the midst of all of it, there can be spiritual warfare. In the midst of using giftings, the enemy can try to intimidate you. And even if there's some fleshly, you know, Christians that aren't very good, they're rude, whatever. You know, be obedient to God. Don't let anybody's bad character restrain you from having the Christ-like character and doing well. So please, first steps leads to the next and the next and the next and the next. And that's why I mentioned under D here, Paul in the book of Acts, when he started to step out and do his area of ministry, well, here's what the Bible says. In Acts 9:22, that he grew more and more powerful. He grew more and more powerful. Now, I think that is enormous. I believe that's true of every gifting, every work, as a witness of Jesus to go out praying, worshiping, all of it. Whether, again, worshiping, witnessing, prayer, or using your gifts. The more you step out, see, we receive everything by faith. The Spirit of God and everything is given. It's gifts, the gift of salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then we receive by faith and we have this embedded in us. But you know what? In obedience, all of that blessing and power and grace is unleashed, manifested to others. So you manifest the grace of God in obedience. So if you take up the cross and you're obedient to Jesus, listen, an obedient believer is going to find, you know, all that God has for them. They are the ones that grow. They are the ones that continue to develop. They are the ones that become very competent, confident, grow, and very effective. Very effective. So I just give you Acts 9:22. In worship, in witnessing, in prayer, in living out being a believer in Jesus, and in the use of your gifts, you can grow more, and you will. You will grow more and more powerful. And I believe effective and competent and confident, and there'll be great fruit. So I'm excited for you. I've always been excited as when I did pastor churches. I always felt that helping to facilitate, equip, have believers find, receive, launch them. Some call it activation. Launch them into their areas of ministries, giftings. That it's an exciting thing. We're seeing people discover. So for those who are equippers, for spiritual leaders, listen, your ability to help facilitate, equip, and help in the work of the Spirit of God, you are used to equip and help facilitate. And sermons and teachings and encouragement to find gifts will help. That's what this is all about. And so, hey, by the way, you can even write to me, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net, or look at the shatterthedarkness.net website for the email address, and let me know what you've discovered, how you're using your gifts, and what's going on. So I think that would be fantastic if you would do that and let me know what the Lord has shown you, what the Lord has released, what the Lord has confirmed, and how you're using things. I'd love to hear from you on that issue. Point number three in session 10 here is this. You can watch and learn from others who have the same spiritual gifts. It doesn't make any difference whether it's prophetic or word of knowledge or whether it's healing gifts or pastor, teacher, leader, servant, mercy, whatever giftings. If you begin to, you know the definitions and you're looking around watching, you can look around and begin to watch people use their giftings and recognize and so forth. And here's what I'm going to say, that please understand, James 4, God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. To this day, 35 years later, I eagerly want to learn from others. That's why I read books, go to conferences, listen to others, whether young or old. I want to be open to learning and sharpening and growing and adding. So if I see people who have the giftings that I have, and I see them doing very well, I may observe them. I may read their materials. I may listen to them so that I can learn from their experience and maybe greater experience than I have. So I want to learn. So be humble. Look around. Learn from others and grow. Now, two things, B and C here. God will show you by good examples or God will show you by bad examples. 1 Corinthians really is about some of the bad examples, the misuse of speaking in tongues, the misuse of gifts, the fleshly use, the selfish ambition, the rudeness, the boasting. Now, you'll read about that. That's why I believe the Spirit of God for that church and for the body of Christ at large clearly puts out this issue. 1 Corinthians 13 is right in the middle. Chapter 12 deals with defining giftings and all the body has and how, so forth. Well, then you got 14 that gives correction and specific uses and so forth. Well, chapter 13 is about the love of God. Now, read that again and again and again and again. You're going to see that giftings and faith and moving mountains and whatever else is absolutely nothing unless you demonstrate the love of God. The love of God in these three chapters, 12, 13, and 14, God says is the highest order. The supreme manifestation is the agape love of God as defined in 1 Corinthians 13. So if you can put yourself there and read 1 Corinthians 13, and if you could do something like this, as you're reading it, you know, I've done this before, reading it again and again and again. Even if you read the beginning, if you speak in the tongues of men of angels but have not love, you're only a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal. Now, notice what it says. If you have faith that can move mountains but have not love, you're nothing. So this is what's very important. Now, when you look at verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, it does not boast, it is not rude, it is not proud, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now, let me tell you something. Put your name there. Russ is patient. Russ is kind. Russ does not envy. Russ does not boast. Now, I'm evaluating myself. I'm evaluating myself in the sense of that right now, am I exhibiting the full love of Christ? As a matter of fact, I believe that when we are filled and clothed and saturated the Spirit of God. Now, of course, Christ is the living, radiant presence. The fire and power of the Spirit to be a soul-winning witness of Christ is clearly an evidence of that power. And yet, agape love. If you're really filled with the Spirit of God, you're filled and living out agape love. Now, mark down the third chapter of Ephesians, starting in verse 14 down. To be filled to the measure of the fullness of God involves the evidencing, the manifestation, the manifesting of agape love. Agape love is patient. Agape love is kind. Agape love does not envy. So if you're filled with God to the measure of the fullness of God, then you got to put your name here and say, you know what? Maybe you haven't yielded. Maybe you got a couple areas that you're not yielded to let God take all. This is evidence of fullness of God. And when you're filled with God and the love of God, that simply goes together. There's no separation. If someone says, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm filled with God, well, you would have to be filled with the love. You cannot be filled with God, filled with the fullness of the Spirit, without being filled with love and evidencing this love. I think that's clear in Ephesians 3:14 down, the expression, you know, the prayer and the results. And I think that's true here. So if I put in here, Russ is patient, Russ is kind, Russ is not proud, and so forth, am I? Now, what about your gifts? The gifting you use. Is your gifting done in patience? Gifting's, you know, done in kindness? See, I think when you're filled with the love of God, God and being and His love are inseparable. He is love. You read 1 John, you're going to find out God is love. You know, if we really know Him and obey Him, love becomes preeminent. Love becomes the manifestation. And we're told very clearly that the two highest commandments, to love God with our totality of our being, and then to love our neighbor. There's nothing higher. All of what the prophet said hang on those two things. So please make love the central manifestation. It is part of the outshining of God. It is the demonstration of God's love at the cross. So when you are filled with and living in love, and by the way, 1 John chapter 2 says that if you and I are obedient to the Word of God, this love will be made complete. So obedience to the Word will bring out the love of God to the highest expression, and then your gifts will flow very, very well. Well, so that's why I'm saying now, in humbleness in the sight of the Lord, I have watched preachers. I've watched people who've used tongues or prophecies. I've watched prophets. I've watched even people that claim and make a big deal. They got a big badge on their chest. I'm an apostle. And the big issue is authority and you're under my thumb. I've watched bad examples. And I think that it's important when we see bad examples, we know what we're not to be. We know what we're not supposed to do. And so I think it's very important that we would take a note of that. But that also when you see good examples, that you can learn from them and say, wow, that's how it's done. That's how mercy is shown. That's how the word of knowledge is given. That's how leadership is demonstrated. That's how teaching is done well. So learn. That's a great thing. And you can sharpen yourself, along the way. To this day, I can do that. To this day, I can, according to the Word of God, in the presence of Jesus primarily. But then looking at the body and listening to others, we can learn. We can learn, and that helps us to be sharpened. Well, point number 4 in this session, 10, use your gifts at the appropriate time as the Holy Spirit leads. Now, that's an important thing, too. Now, when I say this, that's what I'm saying about, like, speaking gifts, or like you have the gift of cures, healings, and, or the gift of speaking in a prophetic word, or you're, listen, if you have an office and calling and you're a prophetess or a prophet, in the New Testament sense, then look at Corinthians 14. The spirit of the prophets is control of the prophets. And you're not like pagan prophets, you know, where you're taken out of control, taken out of yourself, and almost like you're possessed. If God gives us a word, we can do it you know, in orderly fashion. And the Holy Spirit says God is a God of order, not of confusion. And the Spirit of God brings that. So let's, and again, as we're living in agape love, we're not being boastful, rude. We're not self-seeking. We are demonstrating our Christ-likeness and living out our lives, and gifts of the Spirit inside of us flow through character. Character's preeminent. Gifts coming out through a Spirit-filled believer manifesting Christ-likeness, the fire of the Spirit, and the love of God will flow out very well. But if a person is backslidden and cranky and backbiting and gossipy and whatever else, you can almost guarantee their giftings are going to come out bad too. Realize that character determines the good usefulness and sometimes fleshly usefulness of the gifts. If you're in the flesh, the sin nature, you know, giving it and try to use your giftings and so forth, they might come out, you know, rude or inappropriate times, or, you know, where you're pushing to the front of the line and demanding your way. And it's going to be seen that your character is weakening the power of these gifts. So Jesus and his lordship and obedience to the word and obedience to the Great Commission and being filled with Jesus, the power to witness and the love of God will make your gifts flow very, very well. So seek the Lord Jesus for an open time. Be praying, Lord, I want to use these gifts. I want to use prophetic gifts. I want to use word of knowledge, word of wisdom. I want to use discerning of spirits. You know, I want to, you know, there you're in a congregation. All of a sudden you're looking around. I do this when I go to churches and visit because of the kind of ministry I'm in. I look for anybody who's a satanic infiltrator, anywhere there's a demonic assignment or a person demonized in some way. You know what I do? In the midst of the worship and prayer and everything else, I take some time to look and be watchful. Remember Colossians 4:2, devoted to prayer, being watchful about the enemy. And so I will look around. Now, if all of a sudden I see somebody that I feel has demonic presence, they may or may not know it or whatever, what am I going to do? Jump up in the entire middle of the service and scream, there's a demon in the room. And, you know, no. As the Spirit of God leads, you know, I may go to leadership and walk over. I may walk over to a person and just begin a conversation and say, how do you feel? Can I pray for you? And see what opens up. So as the Holy Spirit leads in wisdom, doing it in wisdom, Spirit-guided tactfulness, timing is beautiful and good and part of the work of the Spirit of God. So I think that's important. Use your gifts in love and for the purpose of good, as we've mentioned. You're going to see 1 Corinthians 12. It's for the common good. Your giftings are not for your personal glory, not for your personal exaltation. Anybody that thinks so is in the flesh. And that's where character and the fullness of God, the Spirit of God, and the love of God need to come to fruition in our lives. So if you know that the gifts, now when I visit churches right now, we're in the process of looking in a local church for our family. Every time I visit churches, and I love to go and visit churches, I'm prayed up before I go, pray for the pastor of the church. I'm going in wanting to be a part, even though that's the first time I visited a church. And I will pray about the use of my giftings if doors open and if the Spirit leads. But I want to make sure. And I've appreciated when I've been a pastor, other people that have come in. I had a guy come from California that felt that he had a word to give, but he didn't feel that he should do it because nobody knew him. He wasn't known among us. Until the end, when I was led to pray and say, if there's anyone here, and I felt there was someone to give a particular word by the Spirit of God, and I really opened the door. And he felt then led, and he did. And he came up afterwards and said he wasn't going to give that. You know, it was a great word for the church. It was a great blessing. I mean, the entire church applauded, literally, because it was a great word from the Lord. A simple and great and powerful word. But he came afterwards to say, you know, I wasn't going to do that, but when I opened the door, and being led to do that. See, pastors and leaders and facilitators and, you know, spiritual leaders are meant to get gifts operating and operating well. Yes, we have to, you know, deal with the fleshly misuses and talk about that. Yes, we have to definitely come against anything counterfeit satanic. But we got to realize God's bigger than the flesh. God is bigger than the devil. And the Spirit of God is greater in us than the one that's in the world, right? 1 John 4:4. So we need to realize God meant for these gifts that are more powerful and better than anything the flesh can be, anything the devil can counterfeit, and that they're meant to be demonstrating the superiority of God, the victories of Christ. So let's not back away. You know, when we get things working well, they will work very well. You read Philippians 8 and see how Philip began to share Jesus and grow and go. And buddy, he became what God intended. And what God intends is that your life flow with Christ being glorified, your life be filled with the joy of salvation, the fruit of the Spirit, that you do become effective and joyful in worship, in witness, in warfare prayer, in intercessory prayer, study of the Word, fellowship of the saints, caring for people, all of it, including the use of gifts. Now, let me mention number 5. In beginning to use your giftings, it's, some hold back. But I'm going to tell you, this is the one to help you, give you some, you know, ideas. And I'm just simply saying under point 5, offer yourself to the Lord Jesus. And even ask leadership. If there's ever an announcement, we need people in the nursery, and you have a burden for little babies, you feel led, and you have gifts of service, and you want to go over there and serve. Maybe it's toddlers that need taught little bits of the scripture and how to learn scripture memory. And you got the gift of teaching and you feel the Spirit's guidance to lead. And you hear, you know, them say, or you know, the church bulletin or however they do it. And they say, here's areas that are open. Look for open areas. Now, under A, seek the Lord for placement. And have great confidence that he'll give you placement. Now, what you don't want to do is just go in and take areas. You know, you might get put out of the way. You don't go in boastfully and proud, like we've said. You look for the Lord for placement, even if it's taking the lowest seat. There's a parable about this, about the guy that came in the room, took the highest seat in the place, and in front of everybody, the person running the celebration came up to say, hey, I'm sorry, but that seat is meant for someone else. You'll have to step down. The idea was don't just go presumptuously and take the highest, you know, don't look for the highest possible seat. You know, preachers want to preach to thousands, but sometimes God gives you 30. Are you going to be faithful there? See, there's no difference whether it's 30 or 3,000. You got the same amount of hours, same gifting. And you give to the 30 what you'd give to the 3,000. If not, if you're not faithful with the little, how are you going to be faithful with the larger? And that's a principle of character and use of giftings. Seek the Lord for placement. B, ask pastors or other known leaders when and where you can begin to use your giftings. Under C, be eager to get gifts and eager to use them. We tell people all the time, be eager to, you know, eagerly desire gifts. Well, I'm going to say also, where's the passion, the eagerness to use them? Let me give you Romans 12:11. Never be lacking in zeal. And the phrase here, keep burning in the Spirit, or keep ablaze in the Spirit. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Never be lacking in zeal. It's a great Greek word that deals with the idea of eagerness, passion, on fire. And God says, don't be lacking in that. So you keep offering yourself. And if you got somebody stopping you here, stopping you there, doors not opening here, don't get frustrated. You know, yield to the Lord. Maybe he's teaching you patience in the midst of the use of gifts and so forth. So if you are walking with Jesus and you have discovered giftings, God gave you the gifts and the knowing of those gifts for one reason, to use them. Eager to get, eager to use, and eager to be faithful, and eager to do it well. Now, I think this is good concerning Philip in Acts chapter 8 when he's out there doing, and he again, he's unleashing his gift of evangelism. He's not just a soul-winning witness, as all of us can be and should be, but he's literally one who's called to go from place to place to place and frontline lead in this area. See, all believers are to show mercy, but those who have the gift of mercy show it broader and wider and deeper. All believers are to be soul winners and witnesses for Jesus, but an evangelist will do it broader. Every believer is to have Holy Spirit discernment, but somebody who has the gift of discernment will have a sense of more of it. Every one of us can pray for each other to be healed, but those who have gifts of healing seem to do it more and are broader and more active in it. That's what giftings are. And so Acts chapter 8, I think it's so great if you read it, where it talks about as Philip's moving along, when the Lord gave him direction, he literally ran. He ran to the place of ministry. I mean, he ran over there. And there was a man reading out of Isaiah and talked to him, and he led the man to Christ. But in his obedience, I'm going to tell you what, obedience to God will make you strong, make you competent, confident, will open your life in every way to the fullness of God experientially. Obedience to God in worship, witness, prayer, giving, loving, forgiving, and all the word, and using gifts. Listen, I think there's an eagerness here. So, you know, sign up, go ask again, keep looking, seek. Listen, ask and you shall receive. Seek, keep on seeking and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking and the door will be opened. Be confident about that. I've seen it happen so many times. Be confident. Point number 6 in session 10 now is this. Join a ministry area that needs your service and gifting. A, if you see a ministry that matches your gift need, well, seek it out. You know, if you've got a particular gifting and there's ministries within the church or there's ministries in your city and you have giftings that, you know, you want to, and most all giftings are part of the team and all giftings is part of the body of Christ. So look for where you can, you know, use that gifting, whether it's kind of the immediate things in the middle of services or out. Again, your giftings can be used on the street. You discern a demonic presence on somebody, then you might need to go to them. Pray against it and go witness to them and lead them to Christ and command the demon out. So again, use your gifts as God leads you and guides you everywhere. In the body of Christ, use them as the Spirit of God gives function and order and placement and use them faithfully. Now, sometimes a ministry will seek and want to recruit you. I mean, that's what leaders should be doing, praying, Lord of the harvest, send us laborers. Lord, send us workers in this area. And so as we pray, we're doing what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10. Lord, send us leaders and workers and servants and so forth. And so as leaders and those who are heads of ministries, we might have people coming, God sending us people. And we need to be faithful in bringing them in and, observing them, selecting them, and putting them into ministry and overseeing them. Don't join a ministry area that won't use your gifting. If your gift is teaching and they just really put a big thing on about how they need someone to help, be an usher. Being an usher is great, and the gift of service and the gift of helps really can be unleashed in those areas. But don't get caught into a ministry area just because there's great need, but it's not your gifting. Go, say, listen, my gifting is teaching, whatever it may be. This is my gifting, and here's where I need to, I need to put my gifting where it can be used. please be kind about it, be humble about it, but don't let anybody bury your gifting by putting a different burden on you. Don't let the, you know, no, the Spirit of God guides us into ministry for the gifting He's given us. And that's important. Also, don't join a ministry that needs gifts you don't have. You know, if you do not have the gift of teaching and you have the gift of helps and mercy, and they need teachers real bad, so bad that, you know, they draw you in and try to convince you that you can, and you're, that's not your area. You're going to find out it's not your area. You're not going to do well. Because the Spirit of God's ability and motivation and power and grace in that area is not going to be there. So important to do, you know, not to join a ministry area that needs gifted servants, specific giftings, but not ones that you have. Well, don't join that area. Join the areas that need, match it up is the issue. Now, under the last part of this, I have a key point to make. Use your gifting, spiritual gifts, where you need to, when you need to, and be faithful. Just keep doing it. You will grow. You will do well. That's God's design to make His work through your life shine and to have you do well. Key point number two here. As you use your gifting, make sure you stay faithful to the Great Commission, witnessing and winning souls to Christ, which is the number one mission of the church. I've seen churches even get so gifts-oriented that that's all they focus on and talk about their tunnel vision. They're not a great prayer church. They're not involved in spiritual warfare. They're not very well in their worshiping, and they're not winning anybody to Christ. But, oh boy, they got gifts going. Don't neglect one for the other. Realize again God's primary issue in the mission of reaching the world. That's His number one heart. That's what He wants done. So it can all be done. Don't get tunnel vision either way. Well, I'm going to go out and win souls to Jesus, but I'm not going to learn any spiritual gifts. I don't want to do that. I just want to win souls. No, God wants both. And more grace comes through it. So never give up leading souls and pushing for, you know, reaching the world for Christ. And then also using the giftings and abilities that God gives. Now, the clothing of the power from on high, being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that is for unleashing you to be a soul winner for Jesus. If you got the gift of mercy, it's for mercy. If you've got the gift of discerning spirits, it's for discerning spirits. If you've got the gift of teaching, it's for teaching. If you've been clothed with power from on high, filled totally with the power of the Holy Spirit, that's for, as Jesus said, being a soul-winning witness for Christ. Don't sacrifice one for the other. You can do both. Do it all. Great worshiper, a great prayer warrior, intercessor, and even in spiritual warfare, and a great soul winner, winning souls, and an effective, loving servant in the body. Ask yourself this question right now. As a believer in Christ, knowing that the body of Christ is Christ's body, He's the head, I am called to be a blessing to it. I am called to contribute to it. See, in the West many times, and I think both we've taught wrong, but Christians can fall into this, you just show up and you're a spectator. See, it's just not in my mind. I don't just show up at church. I go to church. I go to be pouring out my prayers. I go to worship. I go to give. I go to see brothers and sisters. I go to love. I go to look to minister. I go to be part. I go to fight with that church. I mean, fight for it and fight against the enemy and fight for the sake of the church when it's hit, when it's weak, when it's hurting. I want to stand. I don't want to abandon my brothers and sisters. No, I don't care. I'm going. And even when there's trouble, you know, we're there not to be a fair weathered, you know, believer. I'm not a fan, a spectator. I am a member of you. I know that. We've been baptized with the Holy Spirit into this body of Christ. And I will not neglect it. And weak or strong, I'm not going to neglect it. I'm going to be obedient to God. And I'm not going to look for excuses. And I want to be able to use and be, you know, I just want to be faithful. Listen. Want to say that may God's blessing and grace and mercies be upon you. When you not only experience and know your giftings, but begin using them and using them. And I pray that Session 10 will help you do that well. Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, the Powers of God, the Spiritual Gifts course. We do it out of what we call Theology for the Third Millennium, realizing and recognizing in the end of days with the counterfeits that are out there doesn't mean that we suppress the real. With the counterfeit Christs, counterfeit prophets, counterfeit teachers, counterfeit giftings, counterfeit signs, so what? That God said that's going to be there. That doesn't mean I suppress everything and run and hide. How absolutely ignorant is that? It means that I'm going to promote the real Christ and real Christ-likeness and the real work of the Spirit of God and the real gifted servants of God and the real signs and wonders and the real charismatic giftings of God. And God's bigger than the counterfeit. Don't be intimidated. We need to realize that we need to stand out and above and beyond even the counterfeit that is going on among us now in these days. So may the Lord bless you with great courage and boldness, competence, faithfulness, great, great fruit in blessing with the common good, the presence, grace, mercy, power of God through your life. May God grant you souls this week. Prayer, power in the presence of God. And listen, we love you, and keep us in your prayers. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net.